of God we have read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What wonderful words are these that have brought rest to a number of our fallen race? For the word of God makes it abundantly plain that there is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. And there shall be no rest to all eternity. Whatever rest you may have just now, whatever rest you may be enjoying, it will be broken, and broken to all eternity, without ever coming to know what one moment of rest means. Restlessness is the very nature of the devil. He is a restless creature. He cannot rest, and he will not rest, and he shall have no rest. And any who shall be found with the devil at last, and it's not something far off, dear friend, it's very near to you, nearer than you know. It's not something in the far off distant future, eternity somewhere a long time to come. It's very near to you, friend. The moment you shut your eyes in death, then you're immediately there. Your body can lie as still as it looks. People can look on and say, it's very pleasant. Ah, little do they know what the soul is passing through, beginning to know something of that unrest that shall never come to an end throughout an endless eternity. Who can speak of it? Restlessness forevermore, in their agony and in their hatred, in their malice and in their venting of their enmity against their being in existence at all. They would seek death, and they shall not find it throughout an endless eternity. Over against that we have this: come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there are those who are enjoying that rest and shall enjoy it to all eternity, who have nothing but rest and shall find eternal rest. It's either the one or the other. Now the text assumes that that rest is not in the condition of the persons that are called. He would not call you to rest. He would not offer you rest if he thought that you were already in a restful condition. Surely that is obvious. He would not offer you what you already possess. He knows very well that this is your condition and mine as we are brought into this world, a restlessness, whether we feel it or not. And he knows that we shall be without rest, as I have said. And therefore, it is over against that. He's addressing each one of you, and he's saying to you all, one and all of you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He does not wish to see you restless. If you go down to a restless eternity, it's over against this word you will go. It's going past him you will go. You cannot reach it without refusing the rest he has offered you. And that will no doubt be a great part of the agony of a lost eternity, that those who were under the gospel and those who heard this call of his to rest will know. We could have had it otherwise. We could have been at rest in heaven. Ah, there'll be no argument there. They'll not be saying there we were not elected. No, they'll not be saying that. They'll be saying in hell, we could have had rest. They'll not argue then. They'll not have any doubt about it then, of the sincerity of the word that's here spoken. They'll not then be able to lift up their voice and say, he did not mean me. Each one who will be there, who have heard this word from his mouth, will have to say, he called me, he said to me, I will give you rest. Now the rest he is here speaking about is something among the all things that are given into his hand. He speaks in the previous verse of the great matter of the relationship between him and the Father, that is God the Father, and he is God the Son, together with God the Holy Ghost, the one undivided Godhead. And it is in this context we find the words of our text, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is drawing your attention, he has been drawing their attention to this matter of the Father. And he said in the previous verse, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now you have there brought before you what he is saying, the relationship between him and his Father. And are you going to say like others, when they heard him speak of the Father, and they said, who is your Father? Are you going to say that when you hear of him saying to you here this day, all things are delivered to me of my Father? Are you not going to inquire, who is his Father? Why is he bringing before me his Father? Why is he telling me about his relationship to his Father? When he is telling you about his relationship to his Father, first of all, that you might know he is the eternal Son of God, begotten everlastingly by the Father from all eternity. Thou art mine only Son, this day have I begotten thee. He is begotten by the Father. He is the everlasting Son of the everlasting Father. The Father loveth the Son. The Father loveth the Son. And the Son loveth the Father. And that's why the Father has put all things into his hands. The Father loveth the Son. They are one God. And they love one another, and have loved one another from all eternity. And they act in love. This was the life they had from all eternity, and shall have to all eternity. The love they have one to another fills their mind, and fills their being. For God is love. Now it was the purpose of God to share his love, to make known his love out with the Godhead. Out with the Godhead to make known his love, for God is love. And in order to do that, he created angels and men who would be capable of receiving of the love of God. That's why he created man and angels, simply out of his good pleasure to give them to know something of this infinite love that is in him. And he made you capable of coming to know the love of God. Capable of enjoying that love. What must it be to be loved? The great thing to be loved by man. The great thing to enjoy the love of a fellow creature. Real love. The great thing to enjoy the love of a true believer. the highest love you can have, the love of someone that you really are born to in the spirit, and a true love. What must it be to feel and to know that the God of eternity loves you and is going to show his love and give you to experience that love? And that's what God had in mind in making angels and men. And he made angels and men, and he made them perfect in his love. And Adam knew, when Adam was created, he knew the love of God. He knew that love in his heart. And that's what made him happy and blessed beyond all else. He could read into everything that was about him. He could read into Eve, his wife. He could read into the garden in which he was situated. He could read into every tree that was there. Nothing but the love of God. And he could even read into that tree of which he was told he was not to eat of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He could even read into that warning of God, that threatening of God. He could read into that, surely, the love of God. Nothing there but love. But as you have heard and know from the Bible, the fact of the matter is that that love ceased towards man in the day that man sinned, as it ceased toward the angels that fell. The devil and his angels fell away from that love. You might wonder, what could draw them away from the love of God? What could draw them away from the love that they were experiencing? What object could be placed in their view if they were really taken up and swallowed up with the infinite love of God? What object could be placed on the other side to take away their love, to captivate their heart? But the fact is that that is what took place. Sin came into existence and drew away the love of angels from God and drew away the love of man, so that now, as we are born into the world, there was no love to be experienced, but the love was become hatred, enmity, so that God became a being whom we hate, and our natures are full of enmity against him. His love ceased to flow, and we ceased to desire that love through sin. Now God is telling us here in his word, the Savior is speaking in the context about himself as the Son of the Father. And this is where the Son of the Father, where the persons of the Godhead are more clearly revealed than anywhere else. It's here in the matter of salvation, in the matter of this love of man, love to man being lost, that God opens up now himself in his love to show you deeper into the fountain of his love, to show you his love is more wonderful than ever you could conceive of. For his love now was extended to such a degree that it reached to mankind, not as created, not as holy, not as he was in being made by God, but now he looks upon man lost, hateful, at enmity, not caring about the love of God. And God still has this in mind: I will bring man to know my love. I still love, and I purpose to love a number of these lost and ruined sinners of mankind. That's what's here then. God is opening up to you that he would still have sinners of our race to know something and to experience something of his love. Now it is in that connection the Savior is saying here, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now we leave aside the fact that he is eternally begotten by the Father. In that sense it is true, all things are communicated in the mystery of the divine nature. We leave that alone. The all things that he's speaking of here that are delivered to him, how can all things be delivered to him? If he is God, as he is the Son of God, equal to the Father, how can he tell you, all things are delivered to me of my Father? All things are delivered to me by my Father. That's what he's saying here. How can that be? It suggests to you and to me a giving to him of things which were not his before they were given. And that is exactly what's here. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. What are the all things he's speaking about? What is he speaking about here in the context? What is it all to do with? It's all to do with the things that he has been speaking about. The things about salvation. The things about mankind lost. He'd been speaking about the things that were given to him as a Father. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. The things that belong to the salvation of man. It's of these he's speaking. He had just been speaking about his own preaching in Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. He'd been speaking about these things, the things that he was doing in this world, the things for which he came into the world to do. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. What had he been doing? He'd been telling them, as he's telling you, all things are delivered to me of my Father. God the Father put into the hand of God the Son all things in connection with this great matter of making known the love of God to a lost world, to sinners. No longer, as I said, to Adam, no longer to men that are holy, but his love reaching out to lost sinners, God so loving the world. His love going out to perishing sinners, restless sinners, sinners, as I said, who are going down to a restless eternity, who shall never rest forevermore. The love of God going out to sinners in that restless condition, in that sinful condition, which is going to bring them down to everlasting restlessness. The love of God went out to them when he delivered all things to his Son in a past eternity. All things in connection with this matter of bringing sinful man to know the rest of the love of God, that they shall rest in his love. What are these all things then? All things which are going to bring about this matter of sinners coming to rest in the love of God. They shall rest in his love. What a bosom to rest in. What a place of rest it will be for those that get it. Well, all things about it are delivered into the hands of the Son, and the Son alone was able to do that. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. Nobody but the Son of God could tell you what's in the mind of the Father, could comprehend what's in the mind of the Father. He knew exactly and everything. He is the image of God. He knew exactly and everything the mind of God, the mind of the Father, regarding this great matter. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You see, there it is. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. No man knoweth, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Here it is. The Son knows the Father. The Father knows the Son. No man knows the Son but the Father. The Father knows the Son. He knows he's sufficient. He knows he's the one whom he can trust. He knows he's the one into whose hands he can deliver all these things. He knew into whose hands he was delivering all things. It was not into the hand of an angel. He knew into whose hands he was delivering all things. About the salvation of lost sinners. And now he who received these all things, he said, no man knoweth the Father, but the Son into whose hands all these things are delivered. But then he tells you this. He is going to bring you to the knowledge of the Father. He is going to bring you to the love of God. Save he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It's the Son that will reveal to you the love of God. The only way you can come to know the love of God is by the Son, even by Jesus Christ. Now it is as mediator. It is as the one into whose hands the Father had delivered all things that he comes here before us in the text and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You are being invited and called to him who is saying to you, no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Would you have the Father revealed to you? Would you have the Father revealed to you as a Father? Not as an angry God. Not as a God who is going to deal with you according to your sins. Not as a God who is going to thrust you away forever. But would you know the Father as the Son knows the Father? No man knows the Father but the Son. And he knows the Father's love. And knows the Father's love to perishing sinners. He to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Well, that's the first thing here. Who it is that's saying to you, come unto me. He is saying to you today from heaven, as he said it here on earth, he had not changed. He had not changed one degree from what he was in this world. When he spoke these words, his mind is not altered, his heart is not altered, his desires are not changed. He cannot. Do not listen to me. I'm coming in my Father's name. To reveal all things delivered unto me. Then what are the all things that are delivered unto him? But these, come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's what he is saying to you. What delivered unto me is this, the matter of rest. It delivered to me to give you rest. That's delivered unto me of my Father. My Father has commissioned me. My Father has ordered me. My Father has put all things relative to a sinner finding rest into my hands. How could you get rest then? You're a sinner. You are a sinner. And if your sins were to trouble you in any degree, and if your sins do not trouble you, the day will come when they will trouble you. You do not need to think, because your sins do not trouble you now, that that's the end of the matter. Be sure your sins will find you out. And when sin will be made real to you, your conscience will tell you that there's trouble for you. God is not mocked. God has not spoken in vain. When God has said, thou shalt not commit adultery, when God has said, thou shalt not steal, when God has said, all he has said that thou shalt not do, and you have done it in his very eyes, you have done it before his all-seeing eye, that's not the end of the matter. All our sins, then, every one of them, are in the sight of God. And if you and I come to know that, you cannot but be troubled and say, like the psalmist you're singing there, there is no rest for sin that I have done. What rest can you get when your sins become real to you? When you come to this, you and God are at quarrel with one another. That there's a quarrel between you and the God of eternity. Unsettled. Your sins, you've forgotten them. You've buried them out of sight. But God has not buried them out of sight. There's another day coming when he will bring them before your eyes at the day of judgment. But if you and I are blessed with having our sins brought before us in this world, before the day of judgment comes, then this is what will follow. You will find yourself restless. As he says here, laboring and heavy laden. Laboring and heavy laden. Well, laboring. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. I know it is true. We might show, if we could, that we labor in the way of sin, and we labor with nothing but labor and heavy ladenness in the way of the devil. Do we think it otherwise? The way of transgressors is hard. The way of sinners is hard. Oh, it's hard to see sinners, slaves of sin. They don't realize it. They go about it easily. The drunkard follows the cup easily. The unclean person looks easily on the pictures of lewdness and immorality. The eye of the unclean looks easily upon the object of his lust. The greed and covetousness of man pursues money. He's not thinking of his labor. And so on. In every way, there's labor. But what we think the Savior is primarily at here, although that's in it too. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He knows you, he sees you laboring. He saw the woman of Samaria. Was she not laboring? 5 husbands and I'm still not satisfied. I'm still drawing water. I'm still seeking to quench my thirst. Poor woman. He saw her laboring. Did he not see yourself laboring, sinner? What a laboring life you've had. From one thing to another, looking for peace and looking for rest, and not aware that you were laboring, not aware that you were burdening yourself, heavy laden. And he called to you in respect of this rest, that labor and are heavy laden with your life, with your sinful life. But as I said, if we really come to feel and know, that's a great matter. The reality of sin, the burden that puts upon the conscience, the burden that leaves upon your mind in view of death and eternity. What to become of me with all my sins? How shall I stand when death will summon me into eternity, when I will meet with the God of eternity? When I think of the wages of sin, which is death, how can I be but troubled? How can I be but heavy laden? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, what do you need? You need rest. What kind of rest do you need? You need rest for your souls. You need rest for your souls. You need quietness for your conscience that's bleeding. You may try to heal it, but you cannot. You may try to quieten it, but it will not be quiet. It keeps coming back with sin upon sin upon sin upon sin that you've committed. Keeps coming back, putting into your mind and memory the sins of your very youth. Where can you get rest in a state of mind like that? All things are delivered into my hands, says Christ, in connection with this matter of finding rest for the weary, for the heavy laden. That's what was put into my hands, to find rest for a guilty soul, to find rest for an accusing conscience, to find rest for a burdened sinner. That's what was put into the hands of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. All things are delivered into my hands. Surely that's all things. That constitutes all things. That's the context here. What was he doing at Capernaum? What was he doing at Bethsaida? What was he doing at Chorazin? What was he doing? He was telling them, all things are delivered into my hands for your salvation. All things are delivered into my hand to give you rest. Father put it into the hands of the Son to provide rest for sinners, guilty and lost. All things the Father told him, all things the Father revealed to him regarding the way and the manner and how this rest was to be obtained for sinners, how he himself, the Son of God, was to obtain this rest for sinners like ourselves. All these things were delivered into the hands of Christ. Therefore he says to you and to me, come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. For whether you are feeling it or not, this is what you ought to feel. He would have you to feel it. That's what he found wrong with Chorazin. That's what he found wrong with Bethsaida. That's what he found wrong with Capernaum. He preached to them, he told them, but no, they did not repent. They did not acquiesce. They did not feel. They would not listen to me. They would not listen. They would not accept the burden. They would not be weary. They would not be heavy laden. If I had gone to Tyre and Sidon, if I had gone to Sodom and Gomorrah, if I had told the people of Tyre and Sidon, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have listened. They would have repented long ago. They would long ago have said, we need rest. We have sinned. We have been guilty. We have transgressed God. That cry is not coming from Tyre and Sidon. That's not coming from Crete. It's not coming from Bethsaida. It's not coming from Capernaum. There's no cry there. There's no sense there of their needing rest. Well, friend, is there a cry in your own soul? Do you feel you need rest? On your way to eternity in the judgment seat, is your conscience accusing you of sin? Are you troubled in your soul? Are you aware that you need rest? I ask you, has it come yet to that? Or are you sleeping on? Sleeping on as Chorazin did, as Bethsaida did, as Capernaum did. They repented not. They did not listen to me, into whose hands all things were delivered. And I told them what things there were. I went to Capernaum, I went to Chorazin, I went to Bethsaida with all these things that were delivered to me of my Father. No, they did not listen. Now he is coming to you. Will he have to say about you what he said about these cities? Shall he have to witness against you as he witnessed against them in the sight of the Father? No fault in him. All things delivered to me of my Father. I did not fail to give these all things. I did not fail to tell men and women what these all things were, to offer them all things that were delivered to me of my Father. I cried to them as I'm crying to you, and I said to them as I say to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But they did not believe that they were laboring. They did not believe that they were heavy laden. They did not feel the need of the all things I had come to give them. Woe unto you, Capernaum. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Chorazin. But all things are delivered to me of my Father. And now he says to you and to me here this day, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. This is what he is telling you, sinner. He will give you rest. Absolute, perfect rest, as I said, in the love of God. That's the only place there is rest. Because that's the only place where there is unrest. It's your view of God that gives you unrest. So long as sinners have no view of God, they've got no unrest. The world, they've got no thought of God. The world are not troubled. They're at ease, they're at quiet. Their day is coming, their eternity is coming, as I said. But you under the gospel, God is calling you now to realize this, that you're privileged in this way, that you might come to know now your unrest and your need of rest, while he is saying to you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The knowledge of God one day will be terrible to those who go to eternity, as I said, in enmity against him. How fearful. An eternity of unrest. Now he's calling you to come and know him as a God of love in Christ revealed, that you might know the rest there is in the love of God. What rest is in this? To know that God is not angry. To know that God's anger is turned away. to know that God's love is toward such a soul. Oh, what rest that would give. What rest that would give to you this day if you could go home. What a day it would be in your experience, friend, if you could go home today with this in your mind and this in your heart, that the God of eternity is showing love to you. And his anger is turned away. And he's pardoned all your sins. And he's not going to bring you into judgment. But he's giving you to taste of his love. He's giving you to know something of his love. And that's how the sinner comes to rest. The sinner comes to rest by coming to know something of the love of God in Christ Jesus manifest. Because there's no other way you can know the love of God. The world may talk about knowing the love of God this way and that way, and people think they know the love of God because he's good to them, he gives them food, he gives them clothes, he gives them all this, and they think that's the love of God. Absolutely untrue. There's no knowing the love of God but by him who says here, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will lead you into the love of God. I will open up to you the love of God. For perishing guilty sinners, God so loving the world as to give his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the rest I will give you. I will give you the rest. I will open up to you. I will enable you to rest. How can he make you rest when you feel the anger of God? When you fear that God is going to deal with you for your sins? How can he give you rest? He comes between you and an angry God. He comes between you and the sins that offend God. All things are delivered to him to remove the barrier, to take away the reason for the offense, to take away the reason for the quarrel, to take away the reason for your fearing God. He's taken it all away. He's removed it in his death and sufferings. How does he remove it? How can he offer you rest? Well, I'll tell you how he can offer you rest. And how he offers you rest today is this. By showing you what was delivered him of the Father. And this was delivered him of the Father. The way whereby he was to remove the anger of God. And that was by himself coming to a place where he had no rest. He had no rest in this world. Foxes had holes. Birds of the air had nests. The Son of Man had not a place to lay his head upon. Do you believe that? He tried to sleep on the back of a ship or a boat, a fishing boat. On the Lake of Galilee, he got a pillow. He lay down to sleep. He wasn't long asleep. When the storm came, the devil no doubt in the storm. And they went to him and woke him. Master, Master, we perish. That's not all. There was no rest in his soul. When he came to die the death he died, when he came to Gethsemane and so on, that's where you find him. No rest. Look at him in Gethsemane. There's a soul that's got no rest. Because the sins of his people are being put before him. He's thinking of the sins. He's thinking of the sins that are to be removed out of the way in order to give sinners rest. He to take that burden of sins before he can come to sinners and say, I will give you rest. He to remove the obstacle between the sinner and God. And that's what he came to do, and that's what he did when he was in Calvary. No rest for him. No tasting of the love of God on Calvary. but tasting of the wrath of God, in order to be able to say to you and me, I will give you rest. All things are delivered to me of my Father. I went to Capernaum, I went to Chorazin, I went to Bethsaida. Yes, and you'll be able to say, I went to Gerlo. I went to Gerlo and I told them there. I said to the sinners there in this Presbyterian church of Gerlo this Sabbath day, I said to them, I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now he will give you rest, friend. Not on any condition that you will do. Not on any condition for you to perform. You don't get, watch, be very careful. Be very careful that you do not rest short of Christ. You may be resting in your church going, in your Bible, in your prayers, in your being better than others, that you didn't go as far as they did. Is that giving you rest? Will that give you rest? When you face death and eternity, will it give you rest? Remember what Bunyan says in The Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan draws a picture of the end of the journey of the pilgrims. Faithful Christian, I should say. Faithful was killed. Christian and hopeful. When they came to the river, meaning when they came to death, and they were afraid, how do we get across the river? But there was another man professing to be a pilgrim on the way to the same place. He got over the river easily. He met a man with a ferry boat. The name of the man was Vain Hope. A vain hope. And the name of the pilgrim was Ignorance. And in his ignorance, he thought he would get across the river by using this man, the ferry boat. And he got across the river easily. And when he came up to the gate of the city, the king sent a messenger to ask him on what ground, what was he hoping? And which he answers in the words of Bunyan, thou hast taught in our cities and in our streets. The man went back to the king and told him. The king said to him, what certificate had he? He had nothing. So the king said to him, depart, bind him hand and foot. And I saw that there was a way even from the gate of heaven to the city of destruction, to hell. I saw there was a way even from the gate of heaven. A vain hope. What are we resting on for eternity, friend? What are you resting on? Are you resting on somebody? Are you resting on something other than this? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you coming to Christ? Now you see that's the point. What does it mean to come to Christ? Sinner, what does it mean to come to Christ? Christ is saying to you today, even today, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Are you saying, what does it mean to come to Christ? Ah, well, friend, one thing it means is this. To come away from every vain hope. Come away from all the other things that offer you rest. See in Christ what he is saying here. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And I am coming to Christ as the one into whose hands the Father has put all things. Relative to my salvation. Relative to giving me rest. This is the exercise of faith brought in the soul by the Holy Spirit. The sinner seeing something of how it is that Christ can offer and assure him of this, I will give you rest. Persuaded, fully persuaded, whatever else they're persuaded of, they're fully persuaded of this. He doth persuade and enable us that in Christ there is salvation and rest for a vile, guilty, hell-deserving sinner such as I am. He is saying it to each one of you. If Capernaum says no, if Chorazin says no, if Bethsaida says no, I'll not stop speaking for all that. I'll not stop asking sinners to come unto me. Although I got such rebuff at Capernaum and got such rebuff at Chorazin and got such rejection at Bethsaida, I will still come to you. I will find you. And although others hear that they may be like Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida, let you each one know this, that he is saying to you personally and individually, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May he bless his word, let us pray. Oh Lord, enable us to believe thy word and thy truth, that faith may be given us to believe in the midst of all our trouble and all our guilt and all our sense of deservedness of thy wrath forever. That Jesus is able and calling upon us to give us that rest for our soul. Shall find rest for your souls. What a Sabbath it would be, a day of rest, in view of the eternal Sabbath, when it will reach its height, when it will enter into that rest, remaining for the people of God. Oh, bless us this thy day, keep us from losing sight of Christ. Wash us in the atoning blood. For his sake, amen.